And here is news from KSTP AM 1500. A Beirut newspaper says hostage negotiator Terry Waite has been seen in eastern Lebanon, should be back in the capital in 2 days. But the Lebanese magazine that first broke the story of the U.S. arms sales to Iran says Waite is under house arrest and will remain so until and unless the U.S. agrees to stop helping Iraq in its war with Iran. Abu Ayyad, who is the number two man on the PLO, says today that American hostage David Jacobson was released last November because American companies that he did not identify raised $2 million to ransom him. The Islamic Jihad were the abductors. The story has not been confirmed by any other source. David Boren, the new chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, wants White House Chief of Staff Donald Regan to resign. Boren says Regan kept the president's top advisors out and let lesser officials in to the Oval Office during the Iran arms dealings. Boren says the information is in the report prepared by the committee while Minnesota's Dave Durenberger was the chairman. The president vetoed the Clean Water Act again. He says the $20 billion measure is full of pork. He also says he expects Congress to override the veto. Long Island Railroad workers may have gone back to work, but the trains aren't running yet. They've been too busy digging them out of the snow that's clogged the storage yards. They hope to get everything rolling by midnight and keep things going for that 60-day cooling-off period while 9 unions negotiate new contracts. There'll soon be a female judge on the syndicated TV program Superior Court. She's former California Chief Justice Rose Byrd, who will be a guest judge on the program. She was fired from her real job last year amid charges that she was too soft on criminals. I'll have more in a minute. Marine Sergeant Clayton Lone Tree of St. Paul has been charged today with 19 violations of the military code for incidents while he was a security guard at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow. One of the 19 counts is espionage, which carries a maximum penalty of death. The military trial will be scheduled. Jonathan May, convicted on 5 counts of fraud, was sentenced to 10 years in prison today. May had promised farmers in southwestern Minnesota salvation from their economic problems last summer, but instead wrote phony cashier's checks on a bankrupt bank, and with the help of Confederates around the country, built merchants and others out of $6 million worth of goods and services. Lois Juergens, 61, of rural White Bear Lake, pleaded innocent to murder charges today. She is accused in the death of her 3-year-old adopted son 22 years ago. The boy's natural mother pressured to have the case reopened, and the death was declared a homicide last year. Juergens has been released on $25,000 bail, trial scheduled for March 23rd. The votes on a new contract between the Steelworkers Union and USX Corporation are being counted, and the results are due to be released tomorrow. There are 22,000 workers nationwide, and of course, 1,300 of them are at the Minntac mine in Mountain Iron, Minnesota. Union leaders nationally are predicting the vote will approve the contract. The Minnesota workers have said they won't because it will mean jobs lost and pay cuts. A countersuit has been filed by Ramsey County Judge Alberto Miera against Neil Johnson. Johnson had accused Judge Miera of sexual harassment, claiming he was fired for rebuffing the judge's alleged sexual advances. The judge's suit claims Johnson started making false statements about him shortly after Miera hired Johnson in 1984. Johnson's suit asks over $50,000 in damages. The judge's suit is over $75,000. State transportation officials are looking at the possibility of restricting the routes of 18-wheelers on metro area freeways and other highways. They've counted anywhere between 200 and 600 trucks per hour at various checkpoints, they say. And they say a semi is involved in at least one accident a day. Atlanta, Georgia adopted a 24-hour ban on trucks on all freeways in the city back in 1979. There has apparently been little commercial disruption with a corresponding improvement in traffic flow, and that is one of the options Minnesota is considering to put before the 87 legislature. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials dropped about 2 points today, closing at 2158.04. The trading was 164,000 shares. Now, let's check the traffic with Grace Lorenzi.
It started early, a heavy Friday rush hour, and it continues. So this is what it looks like when everybody shows up for work. 694, heavy, stop and go, both directions around the River Bridge area. 94, eastbound 35W Commons, downtown Minneapolis, stop and go traffic still. 94, westbound, stop and go from 280 to the River Bridge. And in St. Paul, 94, eastbound, beginning at Dale through the 35-mile-per-hour curve. There was an accident being cleared off on the shoulder with State Patrol and a tow truck. Still heavy stop-and-go traffic on our freeway system. We'll be back Monday morning with the traffic. Don't touch that dial. Grace Lorenzi, airborne for KSTP AM 1500.
And don't forget that we're in the middle of a snow emergency in St. Paul, the plowing of the streets, east-west residential streets being plowed today. You must not park on them until they are cleared to the curb, and then tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, they start plowing the north-south residential streets in St. Paul with the same parking restrictions, and the tagging people will be there, too. Variably cloudy tonight. We have the chance of some fog and a low about 19. Increasing cloudiness tomorrow, a 20% chance of light snow in the afternoon, and 40% on Saturday night, with a high tomorrow near 32, a low about 23 on Saturday night. Right now, clear, 24 degrees.